Welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips. We have Mr. Rajiv Reddy, the chairman and managing director of Country Club, India's largest entertainment and global holiday conglomerate. Mr. Reddy, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thank you, Shane.
It's a pleasure to have you. I was really interested in listening to your story thus far. You know, your father wanted you to go into public service, but you really felt a burning desire to become an entrepreneur. Well, you did have a bit of a burning desire to go into the armed forces, but your mother had other plans for you and steered you in the right direction into the private sector, started your own construction and development building company, and then you rise up to be the number one builder in Hyderabad. But now what we want to know is, how do you make the jump from a developer into this kind of club holiday concept that you created?
Well, it was a spontaneous decision, Shane. During the course of my journey in the construction business, I became a member of a prestigious club called the Secunderabad Club, which is like a Gymkhana club. Clubs, if you recall, in India were built by the British for the British, and
a sign of British imperialism that had not released its grip of the nation.
Yeah. So when the British left, that was only meant for the armed forces and then some few royals and, you know, people coming from a very rich strata of society. But when I became the member, when I became the corporate member of this particular club, I realized the huge opportunity that was there waiting to be tapped. When I became the member of this particular club, it was totally, you know, different in a sense, you know, like...
So a bit uptight with the dress code and...
They had very rigid rule regarding dress codes, regarding timings, regarding no children allowed and, you know...
And then they have the things like ballroom dancing and
yeah,
everything
ballroom
that's not
dancing
a fit.
And all that. That is not really a... true fit into the Indian kind of a culture. So then I realized that, you know, if we start a club which can be woven around the Indian fabric, like, you know, we have lovely festivals like Navratri, Baisakhi, Lohri, and then we have Christmas Eve, Eid, New Year, and all these things. And we thought if we really could involve the society and involve the people, this could be a turnaround to be a major industry. So when I finally spotted a particular building, which was the former palace of the Prime Minister of Hyderabad, known as Vilayat Manzil. At that particular point of time, I thought, this is where I'm going to stop my construction and start the clubbing industry. And that particular building, which you have seen when you have come to Hyderabad.
Phenomenal building. Beautiful building.
Yeah, it is a 120-year-old building. And I knew instinctively that this is going to be a super success. And this is going to take me into a different league in terms of clubbing. And I had a few important people on the board of advisory committee. And so along with them, we drew a blueprint of the club that is going to come in. And overnight, the first press conference, a lot of people were telling even that even 400 members will not be able to get. But in the first day itself, we sold more than 2,000 forms.
2,000?
Yeah, 2,000.
Wow.
We had to again print the forms. It was really, surprising. And somehow, my instinct told me it is going to happen. And then from there, the journey began.
Right. And this is interesting, because I find, you know, the top entrepreneurs, you know, yes, it's important to know financial planning and financial modeling and have your business plan and your forecast. But at the end of the day, what you're really going on is your gut feeling and, you know, your inner drive that this was the right thing to do.
Of course, Shen. I mean, planning is one thing, but ultimately it's your gut feeling, your sixth sense, and, you know, your, I think, survival instincts that takes you into what you want to do. It's your, I think, one-to-one ability to understand the other person, and you also the need of the other person, the need of the society, the need of the community. Here was a need, you know. In fact, I mean, after being the one of the biggest builders of Hyderabad, I was not able to get a membership. I was only able to get a corporate membership. And I had to discover, and when I when I saw the health clubs, and because I'm a fitness freak myself, and when I saw the health clubs, and when I saw the general situation of the club, because
they're getting run down, they didn't have enough money to keep the upkeep,
to maintain the clubs, because all the army people, most of them, you know, were pensioners, and, you know, for them to spend money also was difficult. So that is at that particular point of time I realized. I was hopping in and out of US many times. I had been to most of the health clubs in New York and New Jersey. And I realized that if we get this kind of an equipment, if we get this kind of facilities to the country club, it could be really fantastic, because nobody in the country had done that.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and when we bought that equipment from US, when we imported it, and when we started our health club, it was a huge success. People never imagined that such kind of equipment exists, such kind of health club exists. We had a temperature control swimming pool, which was the first of its kind. We had a air-conditioned squash court, which was again the first of its kind. We had a discotheque known as Pyramid, which was again first of its kind. So we had a first private shooting gallery, which nobody else had. So there were so many firsts to our credit, and then it became an overnight huge success.
Well, so this is not just a story of a business, though. It's almost a story of India's evolution as it gains its identity, and you can see that identity emerging on the global stage. Indian businessmen taking more podium positions, earning their accolades, and also getting their own club. They're just kind of coming into their own, and your business was a big part of that story.
Yeah.
So what has been, you know, then you kind of go from that club. It's a huge success. Now you have 55 fully owned locations, 170 franchise locations. Of course, you're the largest, the biggest, and a huge hit. What has been the biggest challenge, though? Because I'm sure it's not all smooth sailing as you walk through this. Was there ever a moment where you did have to white knuckle the helm?
Well, Shane, at one particular point of time in the year 1995, that is just about 5 years after we started the country club, you know, it was almost full. The club used to be really packed with people, and there was so much fun, so much laughter, and people were really enjoying themselves, you know. And our pyramid, our discotheque, used to be full, you know. When I used to enter the discotheque, you know, people used to just open champagne bottles, and, you know, they used to really spend the entire night there. And all of a sudden, just because of a political decision, there was a total prohibition of liquor in the state. And I had a shock of my life, in the sense, when there were more than 2,000 people coming every day to the club, and when people, I mean, even I had a private terrace, and, you know, I used to entertain a lot of important people.
It was packed. And
yeah. And when the prohibition came, it was almost like, it became like a graveyard.
Right. So business and your cash flows kind of dried up.
Yeah.
And okay. So that's pretty harrowing.
Yeah, that is pretty interesting. At that particular point of time, I was just finishing the Amrita Castle. That is the hotel which you stayed and you, I've seen.
Yeah. So for people who don't know, Amrita Castle, Mr. Reddy drove around Europe and found an ancient castle from the 14th or 15th century, I don't know, that he liked. And then you photocopy, recreated the castle in the middle of Hyderabad. You imported, you know, you got the special stone and went through it. I mean, it looks exactly like a castle with turrets and everything else, towers and coming out of it. It's a really amazing thing for people to see. I mean, it's really a unique structure in the middle. It's the only castle made in the 21st century.
Yeah, Shane, it is the only castle made in the 21st century. I had taken a few architects, German architects and French architects, to the remotest parts of England, France, Germany, Spain, Austria, Switzerland. And this particular castle is on the German-Austrian border called Neuschwanstein. That was built by King Ludwig. It was really an imposing castle, and coming back to India, then we got the entire exterior, you know, stone mined from Himachal Pradesh, and then the artifacts we imported from Spain. So now, it looks like a real
castle.
Building that was fun. And
it was amazing. But so this castle then is literally on the rocks, because the cash flows are gone. You have huge capital expenditures that you have stomached as you build this huge business that you're running. How did you deal with it? What was your reaction to the cash flows drying up during that period?
No, I didn't wait much time, Shane, because I didn't have much options. You know, even the banks were very tough, in the sense, you know, when they realized prohibition was there, nobody wants to touch that particular state. And so even the funding for the castle was stopped, and I had to immediately decide what to do. So what I did was, on my gut instinct, I went to Bangalore. I had a press conference where the Chief Minister of Karnataka was there, and I gave them the entire presentation of the country club and the castle, and I told them that, you know, we will be coming up with country clubs like this in Bangalore, and we will be giving them employment. And you will not believe this, even in Bangalore, just we announced that, I mean, in the press conference, and we opened the office. I mean, we started getting members immediately.
Well, I know one of your nicknames is Richard Branson of India, yeah. And his strategy is, you know, you expand through a crisis. You don't contract or cut off. You expand through a crisis. Is that one of your philosophies?
100% yes. Otherwise, I mean, you'll be finished. I mean, if you don't expand during, it all depends. You know, in my position, that time I had to expand. I had to expand because I had to not only contain Hyderabad, but I also had to, get going in other states. That is a particular point of time I knew the strength of the brand. Right. There's a saying, you know, behind everything that happens, there is a reason. And the reason, I mean, for our growth was, I think, maybe the shock, that prohibition was, I think, important. And that shock, I mean, bought us, I mean, it was like a wake-up call. And today we have about 7 clubs in Bangalore and 11 in Karnataka. And, of course, from there we moved on to Chennai and then Bombay. And, of course, then we became a pan-India company. And then in the year 2008... we came to Dubai.
It's Mr. Rajiv Reddy, Chairman and Managing Director of the Country Club, India's largest entertainment and global holiday conglomerate. We will be hearing his business philosophies, insights, and advice to anyone who's thinking of starting their own business or following in his footsteps. So stay with us.